Isaiah 65. I was ready to be sought by those who didn't ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who didn't seek me. I said, here am I, to a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good after their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens, burning incense on bricks, who sit among the graves and lodge in the secret places, who eat pig's flesh, and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. So God is saying, look, I'm not passive. I really, really try to be there for you. Even if you weren't seeking me, he says, even if you weren't looking for me, I try to get your attention. I was ready to be found by you. And I said, here am I, here am I, as if God was waving to them. And yet they didn't want to know. And this is quoted by Paul in Romans, and he says, what a shame it is that Israel did not want the love of God. And this is how it is today. It's not that God is far away and just wound the world up to tick-tock along, and he says, well, I don't care, it's up to you. He really wants us to be saved. He really, really wants us to be saved. And he's saying, here am I, here I am, I'm over here, come to me. That's what he wants. And yet people just don't pay attention, just get on with worshipping their idols. And even worse, he says, they say, stand by yourself, don't come near to me, for I'm holier than you. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all the day. So God is particularly angry by those who actually don't really want him, and yet consider that they are so righteous, and who consider others to be unfit to come near them, who consider themselves some sort of superior to others, when in fact they're not. God is really upset by this. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense. Yes, I will recompense it to them. Your own iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says Yahweh, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore will I first measure their work into their bosom. Thus says Yahweh, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, don't destroy it, for blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. So God is saying that I'm going to keep hold of even just a tiny remnant of Israel, just a remnant of them. He's interested in so few people in the end. Even just a small number of people is enough for God. He so wants to save people. And as I say, it's a tragedy that so many don't want to know. I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and my chosen will inherit it, and my servants will dwell there. Sharon shall be a fold of flocks in the valley of Achor. That's where Achan was destroyed, who stole things and who stopped the people of Israel, first of all, from inheriting the land. And the valley of Achor will be a place for herds to lie down in, for my people who have sought me. But you who forsake Yahweh, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for fortune and who fill up mixed wine to destiny, I will destine you to the sword, and you will all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you didn't answer. When I spoke, you didn't listen. But you did that which was evil in my eyes, and chose that in which I didn't delight. So, as you read the Bible, and as you go through life, you see what God delights in, what he really loves, and that should be what we want. And his desire should be our desire. And as we grow spiritually, that is what we see. That's what we want. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, my servants will eat, but you will be hungry. Behold, my servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you shall be disappointed. So this is talking, I think, about in the last day when Jesus has come back and we sit with him at his table and take bread and wine with him and rejoice with him. And those who have not wanted him in this life will be so bitterly angry and disappointed because they can't join in. But that was their choice in this life. And it will be all too late in the day of judgment when everything will be reversed and turned around. Behold, my servants will sing for joy of heart, but you will cry for sorrow of heart and will wail for anguish of spirit. I think this is what Jesus was getting at when he said that people would bang their teeth, gnash their teeth when they're rejected. They'll be so angry with themselves, with this great anguish that I could have been here, and I see it, this kingdom established, but I'm not here. And that's why we've really got to decide for him today, and not for the world, and to control ourselves and to give ourselves to him. You will leave your name, put a curse to my chosen, this is those who reject God, and the Lord Yahweh will kill you, and he will call his servants by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from my eyes. And now we've got a wonderful picture of the kingdom. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice for ever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. So he's saying, I'm going to create new heavens and new earth. I create Jerusalem. So the new heavens and new earth are not a literal new heaven and a literal new planet. God's not going to destroy the sky and the planet Earth. He's going to create a new system of things. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and there shall be heard in her no more the voice of weeping and the voice of crying. There'll be no more there an infant of days, nor an old man who has not filled his days. For the child would die 100 years old, and the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them themselves, and they will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit, they will not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labour in vain, nor bring forth for calamity. I think that's referring to the curse that came in the Garden of Eden, where everything is in vain, and it won't be in vain anymore. For they are the seed of the offspring of Yahweh. It shall happen that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, says the Lord. So this is a wonderful description of what is really going to happen on this earth. And one advantage of understanding the kingdom of God being on earth rather than in heaven is that you can look around the earth, see the wolf and the lamb and the lion and the ox and the dust and think, wow, this is going to happen. These things will be changed. There's going to be a major change of the natural creation so that these prophecies come true. And this is going to happen. It's something we can relate to. This earth on which we live is ours forever. And it is going to be changed. It's not some unclear, vague sort of idea of wafting around in the sky in clouds in heaven or whatever. It is absolutely concrete and clear and imaginable.